Welcome to the Business Agility Podcast, broadcasting from the heart of Montreal, where we dare talk all things agile, conscious leadership, and freedom lifestyle for entrepreneurs you won't hear elsewhere. Here's your host, Alexander Frederick Jolie, so known as Coach AF.
Are we really live? Because it seems, once again, user experience. Everybody is buzzing. I'm telling you, you're going to be surprised today. And now it starts like bang. It's like talking the rock. Can someone chat with me? No, nobody. Because just prior to go live, we always put this kind of waiting type of music or whatever intro. That it's on purpose because we'd like to see when it spread to Rumble, X, LinkedIn, YouTube, and apparently, let me check again. Now, I'm not quite sure what's going on, so I apologize for the feedback that you might receive again. Let's see, linked out. Are we? No. LinkedIn is linked out as usual. There's a bad user experience with Microsoft, I will say that much. And all of these companies, all of these pseudo engineer or whatever it is, they talked about progress. Really, we are in the devolution. We're going to talk about it today because this buzz, the apiculture, from Jason Statham. For those who have seen the movie, I don't remember the title, but it was a great movie with my cousin. And right now, I saw, you see, we start off the bat with those two really bad user experience. So LinkedIn is linked out. So tell your friend to come on Rumble or YouTube. It's the best way because these are video platform. And for some reason, when after the waiting music, the intro music from it's like my deck from Sebastian Grosso from Sweden. I love it. 2006, 20 years old. It's great techno, great trance still. And my console alert me that it was not possible to be clearly live. So I'm going to have to do another check on Rumble. So if anyone, I see 17 people watching live right now. If anyone could please tell us if we are live.
17 people watching live.
Okay, right, so now YouTube is good.
If anyone could.
And please, if anyone is watching on X or Rumble, please let us know in the chat. So, without further ado, after this 5 minutes of rambling about the user experience, isn't it? User experience. Yes. I've seen Tron Legacy once more and during this like little Thanksgiving. Oh, by the way, to my 59%. U.S. citizen or American people who are subscribe or follow the Dare Real Agile podcast, as well as on YouTube, it's even higher than that, Rumble, probably 100%. Happy Thanksgiving, and tell me in a comment below, right now, as we are live on this Friday, November the 28th, this is the 69th episode of the Dare Real Agile podcast, where we pretend to be the real McCoy of Business Agility and Enterprise Scrum and the real McCoy of this Enterprise AI specifically. And today, I'm going to be really audacious, if I may say so, because it's incredible. Everybody is talking about it, but nobody like Gerald Celente, that I'm going to show you right now for this first segment on the economic of AI. And we're going to see the fairy tale that people want to be comforted with compared to what's going on. And also kind of a takeaway of give thanks for Scrum 17, with again for a third time or even a fifth time, Dr. Jeff Sutherland telling us about things, but now we open a debate on LinkedIn. That's going to be funny. So without further ado, I'd like to talk about the economic of this artificial intelligence boom and buzz. Is it a bubble? Will it burst? And I remember lately at one of my clients, they just appoint a new AI director for data, AI data director. And we're having that conversation about the trends in the news, the trend forecaster, the market forecaster, people that I know also at KPMG, talking about like this burst, this possible dot-com 2.0, and with his nose in the air, dismiss it because apparently the investment this time is not necessarily all public with valuation on the market. And isn't it like neither? So he had a point, but he has a no point either. And we're going to see how people have fairy tale about it, if you're an investor especially. And what is a market correction, a market regulation? But all may be the ripple effect of dot-com 2.0 with AI, because AI is the kind of the fourth layer of this digital transformation. So let's hear from someone who had predicted without prediction, because he is a trends forecaster, Gerald Santé, that I follow for almost 20 years now and read his trends journal. So let's hear it. And again, this user experience is incredibly pissing me off, if you ask me. And I will say that much to Streamlab. They never listen to the user. They never listen to feedback. And everybody is pretending to be agile. But agile, we put customer first. We put the individual and human interaction first. And customer feedback, and I don't see it appearing here. Okay, let's do this with this latency. And let's see it now again. Of course. It's incredible. You suck, tech people, Silicon Valley people. You program like shit and you want us to believe that we progress and that AI will save everything. Elon Musk, you could go kiss my big bad ass with your lies and everything. And let's hear from someone who is not a liar that I love very much, Gerald Celente. If you catch it for some reason, I won't expect, and let me like it. I thought I liked it. So let's hear it from the master himself about AI bust will lead to stock market collapse. And are you ready for this?
Hello. The fear on Wall Street starting to hit Main Street. And they're just starting to report it. They've been ignoring it, playing it down. And again, we send this out to hundreds and hundreds of newspapers, radio stations, TV stations around the world, and they ignore it. But now the reality is starting to hit the stock market, and the regular guys are talking about it. So today, the tech shares continued their retreat because of the overvaluations in the AI sector. The Dow was down nearly 500 points. It was down almost 700 points. The NASDAQ was down over 2%, closed down 1.21%. The S&P, fourth losing session in 4 days, was down 0.83%, was down 1.5%. They jacked it right up near the end to make it look a little bit better. And NVIDIA, down 3%. And Amazon, Microsoft, down. Amazon was down 4%, Microsoft 3%. And very important, Home Depot came out. That is where, you know, but once upon a time, there were hardware stores. Now it's Home Depot, Lowe's. They fucked everybody up, the big zone, everything. But anyway, their shares went down because their earnings missed their forecast, and they're cutting their full year outlook. That's because more people are buying less. This thing's going down. The only thing that was artificially propping it up is the AI. And the AI is coming to an end. It may end by the end of this year. Because remember, go back to 2018. We had the worst December, since the Great Depression, 1931. And that's when Trump forced little boy Jerome Powell to lower interest rates, which he did. He lowered them in January. You saw the Dow go up 22%. Oh, and then he had the repo crisis because of all that fake bullshit. So that's what you're going to see again. More fake bullshit, a repo crisis. Oh, and Bitcoin. Today, Bitcoin went under $90,000 a coin. Oh, my God, it went under $90,000 for a fucking coin invented on nothing. Thin air, up in the air.
Exactly.
Nothing. But as we keep saying, the Trump team is in it. His family, people in his cabinet, the kids, friends, got over $100 million from the crypto club, tens of million dollars for inauguration, got all these coins coming out. So again, we're bullish on it because he's going to do everything he can to make as much money as he can. Again, as your articles in the Trends Journal and going on about, you know, oh, the Saudi guys over there now, right? All the deals he's doing all over the Middle East with Trump Towers, this and that.
The same with Carney, so by the way, with the Emirates.
And so are the people in his government. They can give a flying fuck about we the people. So it's now Bitcoin, as we went on the air, it's back to $93,000 a coin. So again, you know, it's still way up there. And what was it around, you know, it was below 70 bucks when a coin when Trump got into office. And gold was up 22 bucks, $26 today, closing at $4,066. Again, here's the story. Go back to October 16th, my podcast. I said there would be a $500 correction in gold. It did. After gold hit what? It was like $4,379, almost $3,480. It went down almost 500 bucks. So here's the story. Gold has to solidify over $4,200 an ounce. It has to stay solid in that range. And then it goes up to the next level. But when the dot-com bust happens, gold is going to skyrocket. The equity markets are going to crash. They'll lower interest rates. They'll come up with more quantitative easing, any kind of shit that they could fucking make up to prop this thing up again. And oil prices. Oil was up 57 cents because of the more sanctions on Russian oil, but it's still only selling at $64.80 a barrel. Last year at this time, it was a little over around 80 bucks a barrel. And again, there's way more supply than demand. Again, your articles in the Trends Journal.
Thank you so much, Gerard Celente. I hope that one day we meet again. 2006 to 2008, he added literally about the housing bubble burst. And back in 1999, I was not following him yet. I started following it, as I said, about 20 years ago in 2005-6. And of course, I'm a trend forecaster by default of my first study in political science and analytic. And I did a lot of trends myself in sociology and political and stuff. And sometimes, I remember like back in 1993, I was writing Highway 2013, you know, and on a different global issue. And I'm not saying like everything happened, but the kind of this culture we are in right now, disturbing, very VUCA. Yeah, so this is the thing. So you probably see on the thumbnail, there's another subject. My promise for today's podcast, as I said, is the Daily Agile number 69 since its inception. It's going to be also available on all platforms, Spotify, Deezer, Amazon, Apple Podcasts, and so many other more. So you could follow us by going at agile-lounge.com. And also a coming up site, AskAdrienne.ai is going to launch very soon. I hope before the end of this cycle of 2025. Otherwise, it's going to be really early. This is Sam here, probably from my Fredo Lounge account. So thank you. What's awesome? The podcast, myself, or who else? Anyways, and by the way, I need some more coffee. So you could go, especially if you look and you watch it on Rumble or YouTube. You have all the link in the description or the pinned comment to get me a coffee, because when you buy me a coffee, not only it make me happy in my bold podcast drinking coffee by chatting with you, it's also coffee that I buy at Cafe 1303 and others with Philips and others, that it's really eco-responsible coffee that we bought. And sometimes I go even grab it myself in Mexico and Guatemala. So cheers to you, and please do so. Likes and subscribe to help me beat the algorithm. And it's kind of crazy right now. Both my channel on YouTube are just keeping growing. But as Luke Wodowski of We Are Change just mentioned this week, I think in one of his podcasts, it's another content creator, YouTube has an ad apocalypse, which is kind of crazy. And right now, too early to call my participation at PMI Ottawa Valley on December 10th. So I'll come back with it with probably a special program as I try. I'm really busy right now with clients and building Adrienne AI that I might not be able to come on every Friday Live Agile at 12 noon. But of course, the last Friday of the month is the English program, the Dare Real Agile, mostly on business agility and enterprise scrum and all innovation that needs it, like this fourth layer, this fourth wave of the digital transformation represented by this AI, by this artificial intelligence. As a kid, for me, it's a kid. So the point that why I did bring Gerard Salente to explain you the interrelation, the subsension between the market things, it's because he had predicted back in the day in 1999 that the dot-com for the e-commerce, this second and third layer of the web, that will exactly burst because of sur-evaluation. So, of course, when I said at the beginning, some people now here, they don't necessarily agree that. And let me show you like some kind of visual. Sorry for my audio podcaster. So if you go to the hashtag AI crash on X, here you go, of course. So you have this people telling fairy tale about it because they want to comfort themselves. They want to make sure that they are not, what have you, in a type of, no, it won't happen. Don't worry. This and that. But the Google guy is prepping for the AI crash. That was November 18. The business impact of AI failure, navigating risk and resilience. Yes, it is. And remember, this AI buzz right now, it's becoming, especially on LinkedIn again, into a kind of the same type of buzz, bullshit, hyperbolic, and we missed the real news. Here's one in French about Nvidia. Look at the stock, minus 6%. That was on March the 3rd, so it's kind of a whole news. So it's not much about this here on X, but you have to understand that the real thing, and someone nailed it, it's the semiconductor. The CPUs, all the material needed to maintain your... Oh, here I am. That's funny. All the what you need to maintain these kind of software, these kind of agent, this kind of AI clients, such as Anthropic, OpenAI, and many other more, like Gorg on X and everything. So these tools require machine. The cloud exists on a machine. So it's server park and everything and everything. So the big money, the money goes there, actually. And there's a guy, I think, from India on LinkedIn. I think he nailed it. Let me show you. Yeah, that's the one. I was not sure because LinkedIn, of course, they don't put on the thumbnail. So you see here, when you enter AI bubble in the search, so Vipul Tanera is telling us, is AI a bubble? The answer isn't yes or no, it's both. Actually, it depends. Again, that's a great perspective, sir. I respect that. But as an investor, maybe it's not, because if you're invested, like, I don't know if I could, and is okay, so do we see it properly here? Yeah, good. So, is yes or no answer, and the is the AI party is over, he's asking, it's because he put his iceberg here. So all the thing that we use, ChatGPT, Claude, Gork, Gemini, what have you, and all the startups that fails, about 95% of all startups fail in the AI world. It's a $600 billion revenue gap. And the real revenue, the massive capex of big tech, is into these server park, renting the space in the machine to hold all of your data, to hold all of your interaction and everything and everything, and all of these personal data. That's why I blogged about it, that don't worry, even if it's burst, even if the market bursts, there's two risks, according to Gerald Celente and Peter Schiff right now. It's the burst of AI, with all its implication in the infrastructure, will affect also real world economy, real economy market share on the main street, which is already affected by the COVID war of 2020, even 5 years after. And it's affected by all of these multiple wars that happen in Europe, Middle East, and probably soon in South America. So all of these VUCA, we're literally in the VUCA for the last 5-6 years. VUCA, I remind people who are not too much into this agile world of business, we talk about vulnerability or volatility of the market, for instance. We talked about everything that touch the uncertainty, because all of this volatility create uncertainty. And the C stands for complexity. We throw at us a lot of complex ideas, a lot of complex innovation, a lot of complex, so we have to keep it up. It's complicated. The programmer are fooling us. Sometimes it's the business that fool the programmer. This is an open kind of civil war, again, that the manifesto of 2001 was supposed to solve by bringing people together to work together for the user, for the customer experience, understanding the customer feedback. And as you could see, just today, LinkedIn didn't take my live. I had some problem in the beginning here on this streamer, and maybe LinkedIn is not his fault. Maybe it's the streamer who didn't send the proper code, except for the Rumble and the thing. But these little detail of a user experience, it shows you how much programmer code like shit, marketing and business people ask and demand thing like shit, nothing is good. And when we implement real Scrum, real good Scrum and enterprise Scrum, you have to apply it. You have to do what you say you're going to do. And if it's more analysis, is this more functional analysis? Is it testing? Is it testable? I mean, and it's, so here's the thing. So when people, they just say like, we do stuff, but you are not and the proper mindset, you are not in the proper value proposal system, you won't get result. That's what I'm saying. That's why 95% of these soi-disant, these pseudo agile transformation fail, because it's all about inputting a framework, not seeing the outcome. And the real outcome, it's client satisfaction. And when I say client here, it's with a big C. It's every user of your application. It's every stakeholders that will actually have a better experience. It's all about the experience with your product. And if it's not well done, if it's not workable properly, if it's full of bug, it will look like shit and you're gonna deliver shit. Yeah, when I hear those project managers say, we just want to deliver shit, don't bother me with Agile or with Kanban or with this and that. they partially right, but the thing is, when you transform those principles into real pattern of execution, well, maybe these framework help. And having a coach in Scrum, call the Scrum Master, that might help too. Not a fracking loser, agile project manager, or what title you want to put yourself in. So AI right now, on top of the economic risk of a crash in this domain of application, of software utilization, and this market value of everything costs too much and you don't get a real return on your investment. And this is what a lot of organizations seen after this two-year buzz, after these AI enterprise again hijacked by con artists that doesn't know shit how to implement it, and all these IT director becoming this AI director with what? What kind of research, what kind of scientific have you done with the data learning, the data storing, the data respect of things? I really wonder. This is why when I start to embark with my five colleagues, mainly in Austin, and one in Prague, with this Adrian project now, I said, I don't want to be another software, another kind of client that could come and agentic stuff. There's too many out there. 95% of them are losing. So let's create something that will be meaningful. Let's teach people. Let's apply this agile stuff also within this mindset. So that's why I'm saying, like, if you really want to do enterprise AI, if you really want to use all these kind of AI tool that every software, including Atlassian, have, or Microsoft Teams, whatever is a chatbot, whatever it's an agent that you could create to automate stuff, you need to learn it from people who actually research from it. So that's why in our team of Adrian, the agency, we decided to create an agency with professional services to help IT manager and CIO to actually implement within their cybersecurity as well and within their product management office, product development and innovation center, a real way of utilizing all of those tools, creating also great policy, confidentiality policy, cybersecurity policy, ethic, governance, risk, and compliance about all the regulation that's come up with using those tools, and also the ethic of the people using those tools with the footnotes, or how do you use it? Do you use it like Deloitte creating a report, 40 million report in Australia lately, without no verification? So the HI and AI equation, it's very important. So everybody is buzzing about it. Everybody is using it as whatever, and it will create a whatever effect. So that's what we are saying here. So the VUCA, it's there. And instead of solving the VUCA, they create even more VUCA. It's a race without ads. So it's no strategy. Just do it like a laziness. And the risk with AI enterprise will be the same as with the agile movement, who will just go ahead and try to please people that don't know shit about things. And when you hire a consultant, it's because you want to receive at least knowledge and know-how and know to how to do this. So it's always a show and tell with the Agile Lounge as well as with Adrian Agency. So this is why we are going to intervene to be with you and to work with you for something great and smarter than all of the others. They just run and try to please you with their brown nose. And so this is why now this kind of buzz and this debate about the obsolescence, about the everything and everything, and the fasting thing, and is it innovation or creation? Here you have it. So, and specifically to the Agile movement, let's not repeat the same mistake of going too fast without proper analysis and without proper value creation, outcome-based and evidence-based. We should use more of evidence-based management to not escape VUCA, to destroy it, to avoid this ambiguity, this complexity. Because if you want to truly be agile and do agile stuff, start by being simple. Kiss it. Use your common sense. Take a moment, take a step back. Pay attention and listen to your customer. Maybe you are filling your backlog with a lot of shit, a shitload of things, that maybe it's your dream gig or whatever. But the truth of the matter is your backlog should be full with value proposition that will have an impact on the experience of your customer, that will have an impact of the return on the investment that you put into this product, into the solution, and so on. If you have a SaaS, what does your SaaS propose? Your backlog should be all about this objective and key result of what your SaaS is supposed to do. And even though if you have a PaaS, same shit. So whatever the product is, doesn't have to be a software as a service, but everything is subscription-based now, so it have to be multi-tenants and so on and so on. So you have to be like for me, even if I'm not, I'm mostly a customer experience designer, so I got it in my heart. But when I work with people who are more towards a product development, like programmer, developer, UX and software designer, I'm telling them, what is the core objective of your product? So make it happen. So, and now, oh yeah, but we could use AI for that. Of course you could use AI for that, to enhance it, to refine it, to speed up certain process of analytic. But right now, all of the AI client, including OpenAI, including Claude from Anthropic, were probably at the top of the list, with the, especially Claude, it's more professional, is using also the Claude code. But you have to be really careful, because our equation at Adrian AI is really, really, really clear. It's human interaction first, HI, human strategists. You have to draft it. You have to create it. We are the creator, the human. And that's why I kind of disagree with Dr. Chatelain, and we'll come to that really quick. And then you could use this AI, which is as a stage of a 8 years old to 16 years old, maybe freshman, fresh woman at a college, helping you with his capacity, his digital capacity of pulling out data faster than you can. And also helping you rewrite things into a certain tone, but don't lose your tone. So is the ethic aspect of it, is the law zero aspect of it. You could collaborate with AI, but you're still the head. You're still the creator. And AI could become the innovator to make you look better, to make you look smarter. But you are smart in the first place. It's an enhancement. And so, human creation, AI enhancement, human validation and verification, and then you go. And for those who try to automate stuff, like testing and programming at some point, same thing. Human intervention is needed, because once again, all of those clients, as fast as they are, we are exchanging and chatting and creating and co-creating with 8 years old to fresh woman, freshman, college student. That's the level of the AI agent that we have right now. Okay? So now I'd like to show you kind of a sort of takeaway from... which one is it now? It is not... Maybe it is... Let's try this. If it's the post of... Yes, that's the one. So here, after they gave thanks for Scrum number 17 in Burlington, Boston, Massachusetts, Dr. Jeff Chatelain, for another time, talked about the obsolescence. So let's go back to the beginning. I'm going to read it to you with you. Especially for my audio podcaster that don't see it, only those on Rumble and YouTube, that I invite you to subscribe and hit the bell. We are almost 1,500 on YouTube. It's kind of an amazing thing. So Jeff Shatterland, 3 days ago from today, says the era of human and the loop is over. Is your Scrum team ready for the agentic economy? On that, it's kind of a mixed feeling about it. I know the guy, I spoke with him, I have lunch with him. And so human in the loop, as I just explained the vision and philosophy of Adrian Agency to use AI as a tool, and human is still in the loop. So is quotation human in the loop is over. Let's see. Not everywhere, not with everyone, not for everyone. But when he asked us the question as a co-creator of Scrum for software development, is your Scrum team ready for the agentic economy? So far, with what I've with all I've seen in the last 7-8 years in prompting up Scrum team, they are not even understanding the substantial architecture that Mike Beadle taught me and told us that if you don't understand this interaction of the substantial architecture and leadership and interaction within your different subject matter expert within your team, your Scrum team is failing, because if you don't understand that, you won't understand the value of Scrum and the power of Scrum. So now, if you put the agentic economy with all of these agents, because of course we have three layers with Adrian. There's the agency for enterprise professional service with AI, including training, advanced prompting, advanced coding, vibe coding, helping cybersecurity department, helping human resources department, everything. The second layer is, of course, something to make money fast. We're going to have a kind of a Ask Adrian to kind of a chatbot, event sync chatbot, based on the law zero and the three laws of robotics. And we, of course, have, as we test in beta mode right now in some teams in Austin, Texas, our product owner, Adrian. And of course, the developer loved it, because with sufficient data accessible for the product goal, they could actually make a better backlog prioritization, a better storytelling, and also answering their question with the assistance, again, of a human as a functional analysis and a designer, of course. So then, the need for a product owner, when you have a big data, when the data is clear, you go for it. So I will say that right now, and my 5 clients, I got 2, and the 2 are in the United States, where we could answer that yes, they might be ready for the agentic economy, because they already test Adrian as their product owner. So it's already an agent, more than a chatbot, accessing private data in a private cloud of the product management. So the product manager doesn't need another PO proxy, because Adrian could act as it. But of course, the functional analysts and the solution architect have to oversight some of the answer or some of the automation that Adrian AI is giving to the software team or the product team itself. Okay. So for my client in Montreal, I'm so sorry to say that. It's a long shot to go, especially 2 out of 3 are what I will say a kind of emergent and adopting agile ways of working, and even Scrum ways of working. Let's see the rest of Dr. Shatterland, my dear friend, article. I have just updated First Principle in Scrum, the volume 3, with a critical new chapter, The Physics of Abundance. I like it. The data is clear. We are moving toward a machine-to-machine economy where AI agents don't just assist you, as is the case right now for the last 2 years with this democratization of AI, with the ChatGPT especially, unfortunately, and with some kind of tool like Claude. They are the workforce. As I just give you the example of Adrian already, used by two teams in the United States, where we actually use it as a PO proxy under the leadership of a product manager and a solution and enterprise architect. So that said, his perspective here, his foresight here of Dr. Chatonin is the M2M, machine-to-machine economy, where the agent don't just assist you as right now, will become the workforce as we are experimenting with our Adrian PO. But this hyper-velocity of workforce faces a fatal bottleneck, the global banking system, of course. So this is why, like Gerald Celente warned us at the beginning of this podcast, the AI, it's a dot-com bubble 2.0. The fourth layer of this digital transformation will burst. A lot of people will be corrected. We're going to clean the shop of all of these bullshitter. But the global banking system might react badly and create the unfortunate other kind of crash into the other economy and other market. So imagine now with the super intelligent advancement capable of executing 10,000 decisions per second, forced to wait 3 days for an ACH transfer. It is like putting a speed limiter on a Formula One engine. Exactly. So, in his chapter, The Physics of Abundance, within his book, The First Principles and Scrum, he will add to this machine economy, AI provides 110 time kinetic energy, which is true. Scrum at scale, one of his scaling proposition for Enterprise Scrum, provides the coordination protocol to align the swarm, and Bitcoin provide the thermodynamic floor for instant permissionless settlement, decentralized. Again, we need decentralization, and that's another thing with the blockchain protocol. If you don't have business agility when you develop your enterprise AI solution and perspective, you won't be there. You won't be there. Even for regular software development, even for product development and solution with SaaS, PaaS, what have you, subscription-based platform, e-commerce of the 2030s that's coming up faster than you could expect, you won't already be able to keep up with your competition. You won't already be able to be really the innovative and disruptor of your market. So on that, if you add, when you talk about cybersecurity, when you go on with everything that is needed to perform it and to a kind of a proper risk management and risk assessment, the blockchain is there. And a lot of now the other buzz is also on digital transformation. That is merely not even after the second and third layer of this digitalization of our world is not even effective. A lot of organizations, public or private companies, are still stuck into the beginning of an e-commerce. I'm not saying that they are on HTML or using poorly PHP or Python, but they are not even enough digitalized. Now we're going to want to put them on top of it, this AI solution of automation and kinetic energy and coordination protocol. Wow, how could they digest this? And especially when they're still doing this PMI bullshit, where they're still doing the classical waterfall approach and a complex VUCA world as today. And they are buzzing and they are applauding the fact that the poor stupid con artist Agile Alliance has joined them to help them being more agile. And you have project management office and officer that they think that by controlling the Scrum Master instead of letting the Scrum Master facilitate, coach, and train with these first principle of decentralized enhancement with a multi-task and cross-functional team, well, you won't get it. You won't go and you won't be where you want it to be. And those who will really apply Enterprise Scrum for Business Agility or Scrum Haskell with Scrum Inc. and all of these great ideas of continuous integration and continuous development with customer feedback, with paying attention and having a backlog of 90% of your user story and your element in the backlog coming from the user experience feedback, coming from your customer needs, not just wants of some stakeholders in your organization that think that to make money, you could just do what you did in 1952. No, this is 2025, soon 2030, with all of these automation, this M2M. Where will you be in 2029? What will you do? Okay. So he says in this chapter, he will also cover the execution gap. Yes, the execution gap. A lot of people are spending a lot of time, a lot of energy and ways into strategy that is failing in analysis, and the execution is gapping like crazy. It's like having water scrum fall. Okay? And a recent MIT survey shows that 95% of enterprise AI pilots are failing to deliver financial value because they force AI to use human tools. The 5% who give their agent economic autonomy, like even before AI, is your Scrum team autonomous enough? With substantial architecture leadership? So the 5% who give their agent economic autonomy, programmable money, yes, programmable money within the blockchain, are building an exponential advantage, like MicroStrategy developers, for instance. If your competitor agent are coding 24/7 and setting payment in millisecond, in transaction in millisecond, and you are waiting on a wire transfer from the banking system, you are mathematically eliminated within the next 4 to 5 years. So we're not just talking about job obsolescence. We are talking about organization that will create value creation very faster and automated. Okay? So I will put, as always, in a pinned comment, all of the link that you could go and see for yourself and enrich in the debate. So what I said myself, and I didn't have any response yet, I said, Dr. Shutterland, what will Mike Beadle say? I wonder, is AI subsumed by HI or the other way around? I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I will explore in my podcast tomorrow, which is I'm doing right now, some ideas from Into the Raw Through of VUCA, what AI actually is and what is definitely isn't, and why enterprises chasing AI adoption are doomed without hardcore business agility, radical Scrum, and blockchain protocols to protect our digital identity and sovereign self. And I even see one of my great masters, Steve Denning, at Forbes to see. So open debates here and evolutive Scrum for humans. Funny enough, And my great colleague at Enterprise Scrum, Shinghai Ozmir, she seems to the exactly opposite of architecture and the Agile Manifesto, which demands humans above before things. Well, let's wait and see. So this really is a simplistic thing, but I remember Mike Beadle, our master at Shanghai, and Dennis and myself, was always hoping his Agile and Scrum training by, remember, Agile is first and foremost about customer satisfaction, user experience, and everything else, feedback. And it's always people first over anything else. If you don't have the people to work on a solution to build those tools, you won't have nothing. You won't have even a customer to use it. So by putting people first, I understand your point. So of course, like Mrs. Klatt that I know also, he says like, well, assume we do have a consumer in the loop and business people and a reflection. Well, do we? That's the thing, because the first objective of any business and any industry is to create a customer. And when you create a customer, this customer is using his product with an experience, and he give you feedback, you better pay attention and make it happen. Otherwise, you'll be out of business. So now, me, what I did, I said to him, again, the same question that I asked Dr. Chitrin, what will Mike Beadle say, and blah, blah, blah. And he answered me, AI subsuming HI, does this make any sense? But you forget that I say it's which way around, my dear Dennis. And he says, AI stands and falls with the said and or written. That's true. Right now, as an assistant, underlaying the data, and has the potential to handle those things more efficiently. Yeah, right now, so far, so good. But what about the not said and the not written? Because coercion and fear, and what about legitimacy? Exactly, and craftsmanship, what I say. And you told us that our shared master, Mike, will say, let's not confuse collaborator experience with AI experience. Does AI have it anyway? I like it so much. And also, let's not confuse what is intelligence and how it is created. Bravo, my dear. Bravo, bravo, bravo. So, here you have it. That's the real debate. That's the real questions to ask. That's the reflection that we should have and the conversation that we should engage in a civil debate to really progress. Okay? And one of the reasons that at some point the market is at risk right now, is that because of the valuation or the surevaluation of what we add and the past. It's mostly because, like Mr. Van S, I'm going to show you right now, and I'm going to read it for my audio podcaster, is sharing with us, is inviting us to reflect on. So, specifically in Canada right now, you know, digital identity, digital access, these transformation that fell in most of the provinces of Canada, and all this investment that not going into the right place. I won't read you the article commonly, but just this one. Sovereignty isn't a slogan. It's control over data, computing, operation, and the legal environment around them. If the infrastructure sites and is in another country, the control is now foreign too. Throwing money at symptoms won't fix this. Without a clear picture of what sovereignty requires and a plan to build it, even well-intentioned investment reinforces dependence. So, you know, when a company called CoreWave may build on Canadian soil, but if US company operates it, then US law governs it. Geography doesn't determine sovereignty. Jurisdiction does. So meanwhile, he tells us, signal for another path already exists. Founder in BC and Quebec, building sovereign-capable data centers, telecom entering the AI race, provinces asking real questions about digital autonomy, but without a national strategy and the willingness to build at scale, these efforts stay scattered. So you see, AI is more than just your little ChatGPT and your iPhone 17 Pro asking a stupid question to get a stupid answer. It's all a full cycle of this economy. And I love the image. We have, especially in Quebec, the most renewable access to energy resources. And we barely accept to found data center. So all the data center are going into the Colorado or even in Virginia with our using coal or nuclear kind of energy to power them. And we have also a better climate to cool down, easier than using a lot of water to cool down the data center. But of course, no, we cannot, and we don't have any kind of national, like whether it's province of Quebec fail an investment and giving permission to build those centers around the access of data center. And by the way, data center are also needed for the blockchain and the cryptocurrency, the real one, the Bitcoin one, huh? Not the shitcoin. And the digital identity we talked about, and this autonomy of the digital world. So I really praise you, Mr. Joshua Van S, for that post, which I liked, and will probably enhance this debate and this AI and automation apocalypse, because behind all of these tools that we could use and that could be enhanced and within our already tools is this factor of having our data protected and decentralized. I don't want to have a government agency or department. I don't want a one only private company, an insurance company or an audit company having my data in one data center, maybe abroad, maybe not sovereign to us and everything. So, and if they want to push this digital identity, well, it should be, as one of my ex-colleagues used to say, it should be portable, which means I always control it, like my blockchain, my Bitcoin wallet. So it should be ours. It should be our digital self. We are sovereign. We should keep it. And we should decide what we share with who and when. And it should be stored in different places. A real deconcentration of our data with a decentralization aspect of it. And especially when AI will become a true assistance and producing our work and other stuff, this is very important. I'm telling you, it's very important that all the data that my AI assistants and soon to be my AI agent is using, whether it's at the corporate level or personal level, is stored in a decentralized way with a blockchain protocol to protect it, and especially my ID that will be used to interact with that AI agent, and that will be used to making sure that I could prove my identity in the physical world and in the digital world with no frontier. But it should be portable, it should be accessible, transferable, and owned by each of one of us. Not giving it away to a central database. No way. We should say no to that, but we'll see. A lot of people say yes to lesser important thing than that. So we have a lot of education to do. We still have a lot of digital and business transformation to do. I believe that with this AI layer on top of it, and even though if by the end of this year or early in 2026, there's a market correction that goes to a market crash or to a bubble of AI burst, remember in 2000, even if the dot-com bubble burst, it's like the musical chair. Those at the top will still be there. Like Google is still there. Amazon is still there. So these AI company, who will be kicked out? Who will be struggling? Who will be merged? Who will be the giant? I let you tell me in the comment below about this. I don't have any clear opinion on this. And it's just an opinion anyways. For me, the fact is, the trend, the forecasting, there will be a correction at least. Will it lead to a ripple effect of correcting the entire market? We've seen it in the last couple of weeks. Nvidia, Apple is giving away, is giving out for the first time in his history. They don't innovate at all with AI. At all. My user experience sucks with Apple Intelligence. Actually, my little Adrienne is doing it better. I will say that much. So anyway, guys, that was Friday, November the 28th, 2025, episode 69 of the Daryl Agile Podcast. I hope you liked it. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Thank you, Julia. Is AI breaking Agile? That's an article that I wrote. Let's finish with that. Because again, the buzzword, like you have two buzzwords, the failing, fading Agile stuff with the kind of buzzing aspect of AI. So I wrote it back in this summer, July 26th. on Medium, and the image was created by Elizabeth Marinai, that I salute, co-crafted with Adrian AI on our network Tenet 0.8 back then. Could you imagine? Since July, we're already at 3.6. So let me read it to you. Seeing a lot of chatter lately about AI supposedly breaking agile development practice. Okay, I stopped right there. What I just said now, the way I try to have a conversation with the assumption of machine-to-machine stuff and the VUCA we are here, both in the world and sociology and economy, as well as the business world. If you don't switch to a business agility mindset, with even more, an enterprise scrum kind of subsumption architecture leadership way, if your C-level is still stuck in the past of the 1950s and 60s, of the 20th century, you won't be able, after a quarter century, within the 21st century, going faster and faster to the 2030s, it will be with or without you. Because not right now, it's not just a negotiation, it's militantism. You have to adopt real Scrum practices, the origin ones, that will make you a leader and a disruptor of your market and also taking your place in the market. And if you are an individual, you better get your tools straight and learn from it and be able to make great prompting and great vibe coding if you want to be a part of your colleague and if you still want to have a job using an agent and a virtual colleague. I'm sorry, but you can't stop progress in this material world. A lot of people thought that the dot-com bubble burst of 2000 will get rid of the e-commerce and then the Bay and Sears won't fail. Well, Bay and Sears and Toys R Us in the United States are a thing in the past. The mall, the shopping center are failing. The e-commerce has won after 24 years of the bubble crash. So the dot-com bubble 2.0 with AI will also just eliminate the bad player. That's what we think. But the bad player might also getting bigger and giving us, again, a failed experience. So remember, Agile is people first. Then after, it could be your data center. It could be your infrastructure. It could be whatever. But if you don't put people first, those who do, those who reflect, those who design, those who produce things, and those who are consuming your stuff, well, you don't have a fracking company, you don't have any ROE, you have nothing, you don't have a job, you have nothing, not even an AI to replace you, okay? So for me, all of those bows, all of those false debate on tactical stuff, I couldn't care less, okay? So agile development practice will have to use those new coding ways with AI, with automation, with M2M. But we prize the law zero with a human agency on top of it to not control it, but to collaborate with it. Okay? So, folks, this couldn't be further from the truth. And here's why, because I'm fired up about it. Agile was never about rigid adherence to process. It's about people interaction and adaptation. Remember the manifesto, motherfucker, responding to change over following a plan? Well, guess what? AI agents and super intelligence in the way up are the ultimate adaptation accelerators. When we approach human intelligence plus AI collaboration ethically and deliberately, something magical happens. We don't replace the human element, we amplify it. AI agents become what they should be, productive team members who handle the repetitive, mundane, and the data-heavy lifting, while humans focus on creativity, strategy, and those crucial judgment calls that define great software and great user experience. So here's where it gets really exciting. Mike Beadle's Substantial Architecture Principles for Enterprise Scrum. Yes, they're perfect for integrating AI agents. Just like Substantial Layer in robotics, we can architect our teams where AI agents operate at foundational layer, handling backlog analysis, code reviews, testing automation, documentation, while human intelligence operate at higher strategic layers. This isn't about AI taking over. This is about AI taking over the right things. Okay, folks. Comments so far? Live on this 28, I see about 26 people across platform, probably not LinkedIn because LinkedIn didn't go. So you could also, in the replay, put your thought in the comment. You could be divergent with me. I will embrace it. Tell me your perspective. So the sprint retrospective where your AI agent present data-driven insights, that's agile evolution. The daily stand-up where your AI agent surfaces blockers before humans even see them, that's AI amplification. The planning poker where AI provides historical velocity data in real time to your team member, that's agile intelligence. We're not breaking agile with AI. We're completing it. We're finally achieving the responsiveness and adaptability that method always promised, but with computational power and kinetic power that makes our human insights even sharper. Huh? Have you thought about it? The teams, the Scrum teams, embracing this HI plus AI equation partnership aren't just staying competitive. They're defining what software development looks like in 2025 and beyond. So those saying that AI breaks agile, you're looking at this all wrong. AI doesn't break agile. Poor implementation and fear-based thinking break agile. Time to embrace the evolution. Time to make AI your new US and most reliable team member, like Adrian does and could do for you. So who's with me? Tell me in the comment below. And I think that's the end. I'm allergic to stupidity. Someone in the chat just put a stupidity. Thank you very much. Or should I say, fuck you very much, you too. So on that, remember who you truly are, guys. You are wonderful. You are powerful. And your power resides in the element of you could be whoever you wanted to be. And you could do whatever you want in respect of one another. Happy weekend. Happy end of November. Happy Thanksgiving again to my 60% plus US subscriber. Subscribe, hit the bell, pay me a coffee, send me some satoshi. I really appreciate you. I hope you're doing well. And see you next month. Maybe it's Christmas. I don't know. Maybe in 2026. So for sure, I'm going to do an end of calendar year type of special event, both in French and English. On that, happy weekend, guys. And comment your thought below. I will really appreciate it. To help me break this YouTube ad algorithm. Cheers.